under any impression that you are going to have a reading list during the Christmas break. And he has sorely forgotten what it's like to be a college student, amen. I'm just praying it might make it to your summer reading list, but I seriously doubt that most of you, we'll be fortunate if they read their Bibles probably during Christmas break, but sorry. Maybe I'm just confessing the way I was when I was in Bible college. Genesis chapter number 28. And it's been a joy to acquaint myself with this ministry. I'm excited about what God's doing here. Brother, this is fun. It's fun to be in the will of God. It's fun to serve the Lord. And I appreciate you young people. Every one of you, there's a story. There's a road that's led you here, and you need to stay on that road because there's a road that is ahead that leads this place into the will of God. You don't want to get off of it. And I do want to say this because I was in Bible college, and it seemed like every time we had a holiday break, there was always one or two or three missing faces when we came back, people that should have been there. But the devil somehow discouraged them. And hey, we're humans. We're all made out of the same stuff. I'm not casting stones. I'm just saying, don't let that be you. And just stay in the will of God, young people. This is not an easy time to be in Bible college. I have no doubt that as many college students that are here, that there's things going on sometimes personally in your life or in your family's life that's difficult. But you must stay in the will of God. The will of God's not always easy, but it's always good. And you'll be glad in hindsight. You don't want to spend the rest of your life wondering what you would have accomplished and where you would be if you had only stayed the course. And so let me just give you that quick word of encouragement. Let's just go for 100%. Every single person that's supposed to be back here in January, and the Lord will bless you for it. Genesis chapter 28, I'm going to begin reading verse number 10, and down through verse number 12, just three verses. I was pleased to hear that the high school students would be here, junior high and high school students, and I was over here sitting in the high school girls section, not realizing that that's probably not where I should have been sitting. And I said, are y'all in college? And they said, no, we're in high school, and I've given up when it comes to girls. I give up. I see somebody and I think that they're a high schooler and they tell me they're a college student. I see somebody that's a college student, they tell me they're a high schooler, I give up. So, whatever you are, I'm glad that you're here today. Genesis chapter 28. How many of you believe this? Boy, I want you to believe it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I'll just let that sink in a minute. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And that ought to slow you down when you're reading the Bible because there's no filler. It's not like God wrote a book and then it was only this thick and he said, well, that's not going to impress mankind. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just put a bunch of filler in there so it's bigger and it's more impressive. No, that's not how God operates. That means every verse, every phrase, every sentence, every phrase, every word is placed there purposefully. And it is there to profit us. And so a lot of times you'll read a story or maybe a few verses that just seems like they're transitional, and you'll think to yourself, well, there's not really something there. No, there is. You just haven't discovered it yet. And I love these Old Testament stories. We're following the life of Jacob up to this point. His life could be described as somewhat of a disaster. And he now has had to literally flee his own home. His brothers determined to kill him. And so he's on a journey from where he should be to a place where he'll go so that God can mold him into what God wants him to be. And so he lights upon a place. Let's look in verse number 10, Genesis 28:10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there. All night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And then the Bible says he dreamed, well, I would think so. If I chose to lay my head on stones, I imagine I'd have some pretty crazy dreams going on there too. He dreamed. And notice what he dreamed here. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth. The top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And I like this last phrase, verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, pray, Lord, that you'd help the students. And Lord, this, what we're going to preach, would be wonderful. if high school students would grasp and get a hold of it. They're going to put themselves way ahead of the curve. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that there would be some, dear God, that would have the maturity to grab hold of this and begin to see the short term, the mid-range, the long-term opportunities of life. Begin to set some goals and have some dreams. I pray, Lord, also that these college students, there's no more time for procrastination, Lord. If they're not already doing what we're going to talk about this morning, then they need to get with it. So help them, dear God. May we, Lord, live our lives purposefully. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Bible College is a place where dreamers come to pursue their God-given dreams. And by the way, dreams are important. Wasn't it a young man by the name of Joseph that we read these verses in Genesis 37? And Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it his brothers and they hated him yet the more. And again in verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren. He said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And he began to tell that dream. No group of people in the world are as misunderstood as dreamers. Yet the world needs visionaries. They need spiritual oracles who can see clearly where a nation is and where it needs to be. Boy, we need that. Where a church is and where it needs to be. Where a youth group is and where it needs to be. Where an individual is and where he needs to be. By the way, young people, college students especially, I hope that you have a dream. Please, please tell me. Fairhaven Baptist College is a place, a gathering, a safe haven, a prep school for dreamers. Is there someone here that is dreaming of a mission field across the seas? Is there a young man who's dreaming of a city somewhere in America that does not have a good gospel lighthouse? Is there someone dreaming of a group of teenagers waiting in some church, drifting without purpose or plan? They need someone to love them. They need someone to guide them. They need someone to believe in them before they're able to believe in themselves. Son, sir, if you have come to Bible College without a dream, I pray that you'll refuse to leave here without one. Ask God for a dream. Then dream the dream with all your might, with all that's in you, dream it. Now listen to what I'm going to say next. This is where we're going. Dreams are important. They are also well nigh worthless without a ladder. That's right, a ladder. I want to preach to you this morning on this subject. Put a ladder in your dreams. Now look back, if you will, at verse number 12. And he dreamed a dream, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. Now Jacob also had a dream. By the way, this dream came from God. I want you to have a dream, but make sure it comes from God. He dreamed of heaven and of the Lord, of angels and beauty. Now listen, reaching up from where he was to what he dreamed was a ladder. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. A ladder with rungs, a ladder with steps. Each step of this ladder lifted him closer from where he dreamed to what he dreamed. He not only envisioned the supernatural, but he saw the steps that would take him there. Now, young people, listen to me. Dreams do not come true by wishing them so. You need a ladder. You need steps. You need a plan to get you from where you are to what you dream of becoming. If you take notes, I want you to write down four statements. I'll give them to you 1, 2, 3, 4 right now. Number one, dream a dream. Number one, dream a dream. Number two, see the ladder. See the ladder. Number one, dream a dream. Number two, see the ladder. Number three, climb the ladder. Climb the ladder. Number four, realize the dream. Realize the dream. Did you get that? Dream a dream. See the ladder. Climb the ladder. Realize the dream. We're going to talk about these four things, take the few minutes that we have this morning, and I hope that God will do something in your hearts. Number one, dream a dream. First of all, as I've already mentioned, make sure that dream is from God. Sometimes we dream of things or we have desires and goals. And by the way, thank God that there's still young people that have some desires and have some goals. But you need to make sure that they're from God. Make sure your dream is Bible-based. Make sure your dream is within God's perfect and divine will for your life. Do you have a dream? Having a dream is essential. But remember, dreams are also worthless without a ladder. In 1979, I arrived as a 17-year-old young man into Bible college. I showed up with a dream. But so did a lot of other young men. Some of us are living our dream. Some of us are in the process of achieving our dreams. And as a reward, God continues to give us more dreams. Sadly, others never got past dreaming. Now, young people, listen to me. I want you to get this. The Independent Fundamental Baptist Movement are filled with dreamers. But you know what? I'm afraid we're a little short on thinkers. You can walk around telling everybody what you're one of these days going to do for God. Boy, it sounds spiritual, but do you have a plan? How are you going to get from where you're at to what you dream of becoming? You better get a ladder. You better get a ladder. I mean, sadly, I could give you the names if I was cruel enough to young men that graduated with me, and I still run into them from time to time, preacher, and there's nothing sadder than a 50-some-year-old man, 30 years out of Bible college, still trying to figure out how to get to what he was dreaming of becoming. What's the problem? He had the same dream I had. He just didn't have a ladder. So listen to me. I want you to set some goals. I want you to have some dreams. Dreams are good. Number one, dream a dream. I came across some notes, and young people, high schoolers, this is where I'd like to have your attention. I came across a file that I had when I was going through a box of old files, and I was trying to, you know, clear up my office and clean out the closet and get rid of some stuff. And so here's a box that I hadn't opened literally in over a decade, and it had some old files in it, and in one of those old files was some pieces of paper, stationary size paper that I had written on as a 16-year-old young man. You see, as a 16-year-old young man, my dad handed me a book. He said, you ought to read this. And I read the book, and it talked about the importance of setting goals in life. It explained, by the way, it was written by a Christian, explained the difference between short-term goals, short-range goals, mid-range goals, and lifetime goals. And I read that thing. It divided us up as God has made us into body, soul, and spirit. And it said, you know what? Physically, you ought to have some goals in life. You ought to have some short-term goals. You ought to have some mid-range goals. You ought to have some lifetime goals. Your soul, and of course the soul is a combination. Made, you know, we're a triune being. The soul is a triune also. We have your mind. You have your heart. You have your will. By the way, that's very important that you understand that. What you think about and the way you think affects how your heart feels, and how you think and how you feel will determine your decision-making process. So the soul is very important. So he explained how you ought to have some intellectual goals. You ought to have some emotional goals. You ought to have some, there ought to be some decisions you make. And then he talked about the spiritual realm. And I sat down after reading that book and took out some pieces of paper, and I wrote down 10 things that I wanted to do in the next year when it came to getting my body in shape, and some physical goals. I wrote down 10 mid-range goals and 10 long-term lifetime goals. I did that for every area of my life. And I had a good time, honestly, going back through those papers, and I hate to say this, even laughing at some of the goals, because as a 16-year-old boy, you know, sometimes the dreams that you have, I'm not sure they all come from God, but the Lord changed some of those things along the way. And some of the things that I thought was really important kind of fell by the wayside and was replaced by perhaps more noble goals. But let me just say this. Thank God I was heading somewhere. Are you heading anywhere? Do you have any goals? What do you want to accomplish in the next year? I mean, do you have a dream? What do you want to accomplish in the next 5 years? I mean, have you put pen to paper? If you haven't, you probably a year from now, 5 years from now, and sadly, maybe when you're 50 years of age, be still wandering around talking about some dream, but never having accomplished anything. So I think having dreams are important. Number one, dream a dream. Number two, see the ladder. Now, this is very important. Listen to me. A ladder is constructed of steps. Each step takes you closer from where you dream to what you dream. A dream is only realized when you stop dreaming and start building, constructing the ladder. Now, you can do this a lot of different ways. You say, preacher, I have a dream of becoming this. Well, somebody's already become that. There's somebody that's already a success in that area of your life. You can just try to figure it out on your own, or you might want to sit down with somebody that's already successful at what you're planning on one day being and say, hey, let me ask you this. How do you get from where I am to where you are? What were the steps? By the way, what's the first step? What's the second step? Folks, listen to me. Life's a journey. You see, dreams don't come true overnight. Great dreams involve great journeys. There's always a distance involved. Where you are now and where you dream of one day being, between those two points, there's a time frame. There's a journey. One man said, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Well, what's the next step? See, we spend so much time talking about what we want to one day be or where we want to one day land, and we don't know what the next step is. What did you do today that got you a step closer to where you say you want to be? And so you've got to build a ladder. When I went to Bible college, I was like a sponge. I hope that you're like this. And I mean that. I went to learn. I didn't show up there so I could teach the teachers. I didn't show up there so that I could sit back and have a scorner's attitude. Now, I went with college students that were like that, and you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'd avoid that crowd. You know, the know-it-alls, the guys that already got it all put together, the ones that sit in the back of the class and scoff at the teachers, you know, just avoid that crowd, okay? I mean, I went there to learn something. I wanted to know. You know, one of the greatest schools you'll be in is ministry opportunities on weekends. When I came as a freshman in Bible college, I said, I'd like to learn first of all, and there's several things I planned that I wanted to know. I said, let me start with children's ministries. I want to become accomplished in working with children. I believe this, if you can preach to children and keep their attention and senior citizens, then you can preach to anybody. If you preach in children's church and at the nursing home, you can pretty much preach to anybody, okay? They both got about the same attention span, okay? And so, you know, bring your A game. And so I went and volunteered, and they said, well, we'll sign you to the 3rd and 4th grade department, and you can help. And basically what they did was, as a freshman, you pretty much just become a bouncer, all right? That's the entry level where you, all right, you stand between these rows and this section, and you try to get the kids to behave, and that's it. But there was a man, an amazingly gifted man by the name of Dan Kagan, that ran that children's church, and he was a student. He was a senior. And I was amazed the first time I walked in there. Preacher, that man walked up onto the stage, and I mean, there would be at this, there would be probably, I'm guessing, maybe 200 some, probably about 200 third and fourth graders, and they would be seated in this auditorium, and he would, the minute he would walk on, as a matter of fact, he would be on the stage before the first one came into the room, and from the time they began to filter in, he had them. And I sat back there in my bouncer position, and I'm watching the rows, trying to keep the little hooligans halfway behaving, you know. But more times than not, I'm just captivated. I'm just watching. Listen, you didn't come to Bible college just to make a couple kids behave. You came to learn, I hope. You came to learn. And I'd watch this guy. I mean, he could take them from dead quiet up to just where they were insanely excited, I mean, to the peak of the mountain. And in less than 10 seconds, he'd have him back down where nobody was. I mean, I just sat there and rode that roller coaster and said, how in the world is he doing this? And so I showed up every week, and I just said, I'm going to make a study of this, man. I'm going to make a study of this. I mean, I listened to the inflection of his voice. I watched his facial expressions. I saw where he moved and why he moved where he moved. And and the way that he led singing and what he did to get him excited and what did he did to get him back in order. And I mean, I sat there for about 6 weeks and just literally made a mental study of this. Listen, folks, you can sit there and say, man, I wish I had that. He's lucky. Well, I guess some people are just born with it. I know God creates different personalities, but you know what? Most things in life can be learned. So what's the first step? What's the first thing he does? What's the second thing he does? What's the third thing he does? You got to understand, I'm a freshman. Okay, I'm new. I'm from Jasonville, Indiana. Okay, there was more kids in that junior church than there were in my home church. All right, more third and fourth graders. So there I was, and I'm just soaking it in. Junior church starts. My seventh week there, junior church starts. The kids start coming in. The third and fourth grade department start coming in. Brother Kagan's not there. They come in, they're starting to get rowdy. Brother Kagan's not there. I'm getting nervous. Okay? More kids are starting to come in. Brother Kagan's not there. I lean over and ask somebody, where's Brother Kagan? This is going to get out of hand. They said his bus broke down. He's stuck in Chicago somewhere. I said, God bless him. Amen. This ought to be interesting. Let's see what happens here. And more kids are coming in. And people are standing around. And things getting out of control. And I'm sitting there and I think, somebody better do something here. Somebody better do something here. Somebody better do something here. Then I thought, I guess I'm somebody. I did. I was a freshman. I just walked up there. You say, why? Because I'm Jerry Ross. That's the kind of thing I do. I just walked up there. Say, what did you do? I did everything exactly like I watched Brother Kagan do. I did everything exactly. And you know what I found out? It worked. I got those kids excited. I got them quiet. I used the same facial expressions. I did sing the same songs. I did the same thing. And I'm watching the back door saying, you better get here. I think I can fake this for maybe 10 minutes. You better show up. I didn't know this, but shortly after I walked up there, he showed up. He didn't walk in the room. He snuck over to the other door and he's just watching me. He's just leaving me up there. He's just watching me. He's back there for about 15 minutes. Finally, he walks in the door. I'm thinking, thank God. He comes up. As he comes up, I said, let's get Brother Kagan a hand. And they all start clapping. And I'm like, and he grabbed me. And he's like, where'd you learn that? And I said, from you. You know, there's Bible college students that came into that. You know what? There were juniors standing there. There were, listen, I'm not lifting Jerry Ross up. I'm just telling you something. My daddy taught me something growing up. Son, there's dreamers and there's builders and there's climbers. There's people that always wish they were but can't figure out how to get there. You can't just dream. You got to see the ladder. And then you got to start climbing the ladder. You get that? I became youth director at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in 1994. I walked into a group of teenagers, and let me tell you something. I had a heart for teenagers. I love teenagers. I still love teenagers. They're my favorite group of people in the world. They just are. I'm just basically a youth pastor that they somehow talked into becoming a senior pastor. My youth pastor, I torture him. I mean, I'm supposed to just let him have him, leave him alone, and I bust up the party all the time. They won't even let me come to the Christian school anymore. I am banned from my own Christian school because I walk into the classroom and everything that they've done to bring order and sense goes out the window, and then after I leave, it takes them an hour just to get things back. I'm horrible. But I love the kids. And I walked in there, and I saw what they were. And by the way, not bad kids. I saw what they were, but I knew what they could be. But you know what? It doesn't happen in a week, gentlemen. And it doesn't even happen in a year. You know how you get kids from where they are to what they need to be? You do it one step at a time. But you better have a ladder. And it better be Bible-based. And having a glorified babysitting service isn't going to turn out godly young people that want to serve God. I mean, there's got to be a plan. There's got to be a plan. Okay? One of the things that we taught in the youth department was, and I'm giving you some personal illustrations because I know me better than anybody, okay? So, but one of the things that we taught in the curriculum that I developed to help our young people get to where I wanted them to go was a series of lessons on Jesus Christ in his youth. And we taught for about a year on that subject. There was a transformation that happened in our youth department during that year, and where God just spiritually began to do some unusual things. And by the way, God blesses his word. Amen? Just, hey, trust the Bible. It works. My dad came to me and he said, Jerry, what are you teaching in youth? And we sat down in the office, we talked about it, and he looked at that and he said, listen, he said, what I'm seeing in our young people, this needs to go farther than here. He said, I want you to take these notes, I want you to put them into a book, I want you to publish a book. And I look at him, oh, sure, I'll just go write a book, Dad. Can you give me an hour? I said, do what? He said, you need to write and publish a book. And I said, I don't know how to do that. He said, you'll figure it out. Now, you know, there you go. Oh, preacher, I could never write a book. Well, I didn't think I could either. Y'all have to take like some kind of an English entrance exam when you come here. Is there non-credit English where all the idiots go? All the ones that weren't listening in high school, did they have to go to non-credit English? Do y'all have that? Shake your head yes or no. Do you have that? Okay, let me tell you the way it was where I was. You took an English entrance exam. If you didn't pass it going into Bible college, you had to take a semester of non-credit English. Well, I had one goal during my junior high and high school years, and that was to not learn English. It was on my paper. I wrote it down as a goal. This is what I'm going to do in the next 5 years. I will not learn English. And I built that ladder, and I climbed it, and I achieved that dream. I went into college a complete idiot when it came to English. Matter of fact, I was assigned to what we called bonehead English, and that's where we went. And I sat in the back row because that's where I go when there's an English class, to the back row, because I have a dream. Amen. I'm going to achieve that dream. And the teacher gets done with the first class, and then he says, before he dismisses, is Jerry Ross in my class? And I'm like, you know, here I am. I'm going into Bible college just trying to stay under the radar. You know, if you don't attract attention, that's good. And I'm like, you know, he says, stay after class. I need to talk to you. And so I walk up. His name is Mr. Johnson. He shakes my hand. He said, I want to shake your hand, son. I said, oh, okay. He said, I wanted to meet the person that has scored the lowest English entrance exam, the lowest score in the history of our college. Woo. I don't know what to say, except, I don't know, say, do you say at that point, well, thank you. Okay. He said, now listen to me. Are you called to preach? I said, yes, sir. He said, I want you to understand something. You will never graduate from this college ever till you know English. I will personally see to it. Okay? Now this is the same guy my dad says, why don't you go write a book? Sure. By the way, thank God for that teacher. I looked at him and I said this. I said, got it. I said, I'm going to tell you something. Can I be honest? Yep. I hate English. I don't like it. It's illogical. It don't make any sense. There's a reason women are good at it. Oh, yeah, come on, guys. Stay with me. Most guys like math because 1 + 1 = 2. 2. No exception. I before E except... Women, they always want a loophole. They always want an exception, you know. Illogical. Women are like, I get this, man. This is easy. Guys are like, what? So I looked at him and I said, I don't like it. I've avoided it with my whole life. But if I can't graduate without it, then I will learn this. But I need to ask you a favor. He said, yes. I said, would you be available? I won't drive you crazy. But if I sit in a class and I don't get something, can I make an appointment and meet with you? He said, I will meet with you as many times as I need to in my office, and I will make sure you get this if you'll put the work into it. Young people, what I'm saying is this. Later on, I was glad that I learned English, guys. I never thought God would say, you're going to end up writing 12 books. But you know what? God knew. Thank God for Mr. Johnson that stood there. You know what that was? You know what that was? That was the first step on a ladder that I didn't even know I was going to climb one of these days. You know what I did? I left the office after Dad told me that, and I figured it out. How did you figure it out? I dreamed a dream. I saw the ladder. Hey, there's guys that have published books. There's guys that have written books. I did the research. I sat down and got good counsel. I built a plan. I climbed the ladder. And you know what? I realized the dream. Watch this. Dream the dream. See the ladder. Number three, climb the ladder. Now, young people, watch this. This is where the rubber meets the road. Yes, you start by dreaming, then you go from dreaming to building a ladder. But watch this. Then you must go from building to climbing. Dreaming is inspiration. Climbing is perspiration. And most of the reason it boils down to where the average person, all they ever do is dream, is you know what? It's easier to dream than it is to put the work in to having to climb that ladder one step at a time. Work. Work. Effort. Persistence. Determination. Building your strength. Climbing a ladder. But let me tell you this. One of these days when you get to the top, and you begin to realize those dreams, it's worth it. So where you are? Where are you in life? Is your goal to graduate from high school? What is your goal? What's your short-term goal? I mean, if somebody were to ask you, what do you want to accomplish in the next 12 months? Do you have any idea? Do you have any dreams? Have you put anything down on paper? What do you want to accomplish in the next 5 years? Do you have something written down? Are you going somewhere? What do you want to accomplish before you die on this earth? Write those things out. Then dream a dream. Then see the ladder. Then climb the ladder. Then realize the dream. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak to these young people. And I pray, Lord, that you'd take the seed thoughts. Just the seed thoughts. No Bible message ever gives all the answers. It's not supposed to. It's supposed to give someone, hopefully, the motivation to decide that they're going to go find the answers. And Lord, I look across this auditorium and I think of all the potential. Lord, I pray, dear God, that the devil would not steal that potential. Give these young people a dream. Put something in their hearts. Help them, Lord, to have the good sense to know how to research that and ask the questions. Get godly counsel. Sit down with the right people. Help them to formulate a plan. Then, Lord, give them the character to begin to climb. And sometimes climbing is hard, and sometimes the ladder's tall, and discouragement, and all the things that come in. But, Lord, help them just to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And I hope, dear God, that as I look over this auditorium, I hope that, Lord, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of moments ahead for these young people where they realize that dream. There's nothing like getting to the top. There's nothing like accomplishing something that God's put in your heart. There's nothing like viewing something that at the beginning seems insurmountable, and yet with God's help, with God's grace, with some old-fashioned persistence and hard work, dreams are realized. Bless these young people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just go ahead and come. Spend some time talking with the Lord.